You are listening to the Streets MN Podcast, a place where conversations about Minnesota's transportation and land use are expanded through research and informed commentary.
Hi, this is Bill Lindeke. The podcast this week is a conversation with Jim McDonough, who is a county commissioner on the Ramsey County Board representing the east side of St. Paul. Commissioner McDonough and I sat down in his office a few weeks ago to talk about the recent public works test along Maryland Avenue on St. Paul's east side, where the county is experimenting with reducing the number of travel lanes on the street from 4 lanes to 3 lanes in an effort to improve safety. The conversation that we had covered a lot of ground about how county government works, about why 4-lane roads are dangerous, and about Commissioner McDonough's hopes for what the test might do for the future of Ramsey County and for St. Paul, especially around street design, transportation, transit, pedestrian safety, that kind of thing. So I hope you enjoy the conversation. Before we begin, though, the podcast this week is sponsored by Streets.mn, which is obviously the website that you already on. Streets.mn is a nonprofit dedicated to expanding the conversation around land use and transportation issues in the Twin Cities and in greater Minnesota. I'm sure you already know about it, but if you are a fan of Streets.mn or appreciate the kinds of conversations that it brings into the public attention, or if you appreciate, would like to see Streets.mn grow in certain ways, including more coverage of other kinds of places or whatever, please support the website with a donation. It means a lot, and it really helps us. You can find the big blue button for donating on the top right of the main page, and your donation will help keep the site afloat and thriving, help us pay for events, web hosting, or even growing in various ways. So please do that. Thank you so much for your support and for keeping Streets.mn strong. If you have ideas for podcast guests or would like to sponsor future episodes of this Streets.mn podcast, please reach out to me, Bill Lindeke, for more details. The podcast intro music was written and produced by Dan Choma, who also writes for the site, and he's a nice person. So thank you to him and thank you to you for listening, and I hope you enjoy this.
Well, welcome to the Streets.mn podcast. I'm sitting in the office in Ramsey County Courthouse with Commissioner Jim McDonough. You're the head of the Ramsey County Board of Commissioners.
I am not chair this year.
Oh, no, you're not. No, you were last year.
Yeah, Victoria Reinhardt's chair this year.
Okay. Yeah. No problem.
Sorry, let me silence my phone.
Yeah. So like I said, I'm here with Commissioner Jim McDonough, who represents, which district is it?
East side of St. Paul, District 6, which is pretty much all the east side of St. Paul.
And the borders just go around the city borders or
what? Yep, all in the city. So Edgerton on the west, Larpinder on the north, McKnight on the east, and I go all the way down to Carver and along the river on the south.
Okay, great. Well, tell me a little bit about the county board and what you guys do for folks who might not hear of them, because it's a little bit of an obscure level of government. A lot of people don't think about county level government.
So, absolutely. So when I'm out door knocking or in the community, a very common response is, "Who's my county commissioner? What do you do?" County government's very integral to our community. One of the reasons why people don't maybe have a strong connection or understanding of county government is so much of what we do is when a family comes in crisis, you know, in human services, mental health, adults with disability, children, child protection, public health, corrections. Those are some of the main functions of counties, but we do so much more. We do parks, we do libraries in the suburbs, we do roads. Our public works department's quite large. We own extensive county road system. We run elections, so we do a lot. And I've done a lot of work in the east side and in general about county government 101, really trying to encourage people to get a good understanding of what we do.
Great. So what? How big is the public works part of the mission of county government? And tell me about that. So that's what I wanted to talk to you about today anyway.
Yeah, well, the public works, I mean, man, I don't have the figures off the top of my head. I probably should, but I don't know how many miles of roads we have. But county roads are typically the arterial feeder roads. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, if you think about it, they tend to be about a mile or a half a mile apart. And if you look at your grid system, whether you're in the city or the suburbs or out in rural, you have these every mile or so kind of a major arterial type road that feeds. Those tend to be the county roads. City roads are the roads kind of in between for traffic to move in residential neighborhoods. And then, of course, the state runs the highway system, you know, the big roads for moving people through communities. And so our roads are pretty critical. In the city of St. Paul, it's tough because our roads, White Bear, Maryland on the east side, Johnson Parkway, so many of them are those arterial-type roads, but the right-of-ways are extremely narrow. They never were built for the amount of traffic that they carry nowadays.
Yeah, so tell me about that. I know I've long been looking at the east side, in particular, as having a lot of the most dangerous streets in the city, right? So you named a few of them. And what's the conversation like and at the county level to try to think about that problem?
So one of the things we've done at the board level and from the top, and this came up through Public Works, working within our community, but we've adopted a transportation for all policy. So when we're working and doing improvements in our right-of-way, when we're looking at our roads, we look at pedestrians, bikers, transit, and automobiles. And in the past, roads really truly were focused in on automobiles and how to move cars as quickly through communities and efficiently as possible. And that worked good for people that drove cars. The bad part of that was it became extremely unsafe for pedestrians, bike users, and it was tough for transit to integrate within that system. So with our transportation for all, we truly look at pedestrians first, bike users second, transit third, and then making sure that our roads work for cars and people that are driving in the cars.
Yeah. Do you know when that got passed?
I think as a board, we passed that earlier this year.
Okay.
I don't recall exactly when.
What was the conversation like around that? Like, what are some of the trade-offs or perceived trade-offs? Yeah. Or how's that go?
And, you know, it's an evolution, right? We've been pushing for bike lanes on our roads. We've been pushing for the county to do more work on our county roads in the city. It's always hard, so the, you know, our dollars don't go as far because it's more costly. So, that, you know, it's always easier to focus in on County Road E or County Road J out in the suburban community, large right-of-way. You can do a lot of things. Come into White Bear Avenue, very small right-of-way. You can't build to the standards that they would say that that road should be built to nowadays. You just can't. We don't have enough right-of-way. So in the past, we tended to kind of just patch these roads and keep them going. Now we're really committed to actually doing what we can in that right-of-way, but to make it safe for the users. We're putting the first Hawk light that we've used in the system on White Bear at Margaret for bike as a part of a bike trail there.
Can you define what that is real quick?
A Hawk light is where you can come and you can push and it will actually stop the traffic. It's traffic has full movement through until somebody comes up, push those button, and they'll get a red light to safely cross the street.
Great, because White Bear is really tough to cross.
Yeah. Well, you know, what we talked about White Bear and Maryland, probably the two toughest streets in my district. I can remember, I grew up on the east side, longtime resident, but I can remember when both of those streets actually had parking and it was one lane of travel. Things have changed. You know, when I grew up, it was pretty common for a lot of folks not to even have cars. But most families that did only had maybe one car in a family. Now we've got families on the east side with four or five cars in that family. So it's really, you know, the number of vehicles traveling on our roads is increased, which brings danger to pedestrians. And so we're trying our best here. We've got the great opportunity on Maryland. We're coming in with a repaving investment later this year. We had a tragic death at Greenbrier in Maryland that, you know, brought the community together. We came to a community meeting and we had conversations about that. There were some questions about could we take a look at turning Maryland, you know, from a four to a three-lane road. The number of cars on that segment of Maryland is at the high end of what engineering and modeling would say you can. It's not absolute because it's about signals and all kinds of other things within that right away. But both St. Paul Public Works and Ramsey County Public Works really thought this was an opportunity to actually real-time test and not just rely and say yes or no based on data, engineering, modeling, that type of stuff, to actually do a real-time test to, you know, to see what happens. It's hard to predict human behavior. People, when they something changes, they may change their route, so you might actually have less traffic there so that they find a better route. Other people may, you know, and to be able to actually do this real-time test. So we've converted Maryland to a three-lane road, striped it, and we're doing, you know, a six-week test here. We're getting all kinds of data. We've got folks that stand on street corners, are counting cars, are watching interactions. We've met with shop owners, Golden Harvest on Maryland. We've had pop-up meetings with our popsicle truck. We've got ways for people to weigh in. And it's one of the things that's really pleasing is the amount of feedback we're getting, whether it's for it or against it. We've got some people that are hard-lined against it, absolutely no change. We got some people that are just, you know, absolutely supportive. But we've got a large group in the middle that at the beginning didn't know, and they were interested in finding out how it would work.
Yeah, it's so Maryland Avenue, to describe it to folks who might not be from the east side of St. Paul, which is, you know, there's a few people.
So Maryland really, it really goes all the way to McKnight, but about White Bear is when it starts to become that arterial feeder. Residential folks will move to Maryland to take Maryland to either Phelan Boulevard or all the way to 35E far east. Maryland continues to run all the way to Como Lake, so it is a pretty long, straight arterial road. But on the east side, it really is one of the main arterial feeders to 35E.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that will get off at Phelan Boulevard, quite a few since we've made that investment. The traffic on Maryland used to be maybe 25,000-26,000 a day. After Phelan Boulevard, now it's probably maybe 18,000-20,000 a day. So it dropped somewhat.
That's actually a lot.
So
what happened in May was and it actually looks really good, the test. So they took the four-lane footprint where you got two lanes in each direction, and you got the problem of the weaving traffic, right? So, you know, if someone's slowing, this is the problem with the fatality there last year, is if someone wants to cross the street and someone stops to let them cross, the car behind them will usually swerve around and keep going.
That's exactly what happened. A car in the right lane stopped for a young lady to cross the street. By law, they have to. You know, one of the things about roads and right-of-ways and pedestrians and cars, it's engineering, it's enforcement, and it's education, right? There is a law. You have to stop for pedestrians when they are trying to cross at an intersection. A car did that. She starts to cross, gets past that car, another car in the left lane, assumed that car stopped in the right lane, was probably taking a right turn, didn't think about that there could be a pedestrian in the crosswalk, and hit and killed that pedestrian. It happened to a young boy on Rice Street. You know, it does happen. And that's one of the reasons why pedestrians get really leery, even though they know they have the right of way and by law they have the ability to cross streets. They, you know, unless you have that eye contact and you know that both lanes of traffic are stopped and safe, you still got. But to do that on four lanes of traffic on Maryland Street is risky. Now we've taken it down to where you've got one lane east, one lane west for through, plus the center left turn lane, which is a refuge for people trying to cross, to ensure that once they get across one lane, they can be confident that that car coming from the other direction has seen them and stopped so they can cross.
Yeah, and so you're saying that the test started in May, and I heard that they're going to keep it going for 3 months. Do you know if that's true or not? It was supposed to be 6 weeks, and then maybe if it's going okay, they would continue it all summer long.
So the original agreement with the community and with St. Paul Public Works, because, you know, even though it's a county road, we work with our cities on our county roads.
Well, thank you,
know,
we you
just
for doing
don't,
that.
We just don't come in and do whatever we want on our roads within cities. We work with our cities very closely. And so the original agreement was, okay, if there's an absolute fatal flaw that, you know, is occurring from day one, we'll just pull the plug. That didn't occur. Certainly there was there was some issues, but there's always been issues on Maryland. It just may be different issues, and then we've got to decide as a community, you know, what's more tolerable, four lanes and the issues that that occurs, or three lanes and the issues that that brings. So it's actually functioning quite well from an engineered, data-driven, you know, the traffic's flowing. Certainly there are times when, because all the traffic's in one lane now, a car might have to wait for a second cycle to cross, like Arcade Street. Mm-hmm. A small delay, but and again, a change. But before, with four lanes, you had other issues. So we're up to 6 weeks. We haven't, my understanding is the final decision hasn't been made to continue it, but I believe we will continue it to continue to get data, maybe do some fine-tuning on signal timing, that type of stuff to mm-hmm. continue to, but I don't know for sure that we've made, I haven't got notification we've made that decision to continue it.
Okay. Well, what do you think this test means for the future of Ramsey County street design? And where do you think we're headed?
Well, one of the positive experiences is certainly for people within public works, within city, with the county and other cities, is to have this real-time opportunity to learn from this, because there's been other opportunities within the city, again, very similar to Maryland, not always identical, Dale Street, Rice Street. You can name many streets. And so having this real-time test can really help give people the not only the data, but the experience to be able to say, you know what, we can push it here, and we can put it over here, and it makes sense here. And certainly you've got community opposition, but this also helps to temper community opposition. I know of folks that from the beginning said no, just based on, you know, nothing. But since it's been put in place, they've actually changed their mind. They actually like it. They actually think it's working. So when you can do this, you can demonstrate to reasonable people and they can make decisions, you can actually show people, hey, and they can make choices. And I've seen that where people have actually gone from a no to a yes on this.
Yeah, it's kind of funny on the east side, too, because it's, you know, I have a lot of family on the east side, and it's a maybe traditional part of St. Paul, let's say, you know, a lot of 50s houses, and sort of my cousins who live over there, they love fixing cars in the driveway, and then there's a famous drive-in, the Dariette, that's still open, and so there's sort of like an old-school sort of vibe on the east side that has a lot to do with car culture and just, you know, that era of America that was really, but it's interesting to see some of the changes and how that can fit with the history of the neighborhood, I think. I don't know.
Right. I think one of the hardest parts, especially from the people that are no, is to get people to think this right away that we own or the city owns for their roads is not just for cars. It is to move our citizens. And a lot of citizens choose to walk, or have to walk. They have no choice. A lot of citizens choose to use bikes or have to use bikes. A lot of people have to use transit or choose to use transit. And those right-of-ways need to accommodate all those modes just as they accommodate cars. And there has been this slant, I think, as we've developed out our road system to focus in on cars, being safe for car interactions, how to move cars as efficiently and as quickly from point A to point B. And when you do that, you take away from other people that also need to use that right away, walkers, bikers, and transit users.
Yeah. Well, great. Is there anything else I need to talk to you about here?
No, we're continuing to look for feedback as people listen. People come up and share their thoughts with me, and I do appreciate that. And they call and they email me.
But I bet you get a lot of them.
But I tell them, go to our website. Please, go to our website. Yeah. Just take the couple of minutes. We've made it real easy. But go to our website and share with us. Yes, no, maybe. Share your experiences, good, bad, or indifferent, but we really want to hear from you, and it really does matter to actually take the time on our website to officially kind of weigh in on what you think about this.
I think there's only a few more days to comment, actually.
Yeah.
The deadline's coming up. Well, thanks for talking to me today, and I hope it all goes well.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for listening to the Streets MN podcast. If you're interested in joining a conversation about Minnesota's transportation and land use, direct your browser to streets.mn. Content for Streets MN is volunteer-driven.